Hi, I'm Rob.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Ask Rob and Rob.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Ask Rob and Rob, the show where you get your questions in and we give you our best efforts at an answer. And that format's been running for a lot of episodes now. It's a popular one, so let's continue that roadshow and remind you how you can get involved and get your very own question answered.
Yep, oh so simple. Give us a call on 013-808-0035 or go to propertyhub.net/ask.
So let's listen to our first question, which comes in from Anne.
Hi, Robin Rob. My name is Anne. I have a question about figuring out property market value. So I closed on a house. It's a multi-let in North England. We closed on asking price, but it's difficult to know if possibly we overpaid because there are so few similar houses of similar size in the area. Could you give me a foolproof method for working out market value? Thank you ever so much. Appreciate your podcast.
And thank you for your question. It's a tricky one, right? Because there isn't a simple algorithm that you can use to go, right, okay, that's the exact value of your property. You're going to have to do a few things. Now, with a HMO, you can base the value on the rental return. You could say, right, okay, the average HMO in this area is 8%. So based on my rent, total of 8% is a number of X. And therefore, my property based on other HMOs in the area will be this number. So what you will need to do, if you don't already, is get an idea of what other HMOs are kicking out in terms of a return. Speak to other people who own HMOs in the area or agents that deal with HMOs and go, what are the valuations like in this area on HMOs? And if there's a management agent that does HMOs in that area, I'm sure they'll be more than happy to give you some advice because they may be hopeful of your business. And that is one way to measure it. However, when you sell the property, it will, again, be measured the same way if you're selling it as a HMO. But if you're selling it as one residential unit in the future, then it will attract a different method of valuation. And that will be, what does this big house in this area measure up as in terms of value? Now, when you go into an area where you have a house that is much bigger than others, you don't normally see a natural jump to a significantly higher price point. So let me explain. If your area is full of small 2 and 3 beds, and then stuck in the middle, you've got this large 5 bed, you won't get significantly more, or you're unlikely to get significantly more, because each area will have a ceiling price. So a way of a rough guide is to go, okay, let's say you've got a 5 bed, and the biggest in the area beyond yours is the 3 bed. Look at what the most expensive 3 beds are in that area, and then maybe just give it a marginal lift beyond that. Now, what I'm giving you is a very rough and ready way of valuing properties. And that's if you do it yourself. Another simple way of doing it is just speak to local experts. Go to multiple estate agents and say, if I put this property on the market, what would you value it at? You know, again, they will probably be more than happy to go and look at the property with the potential of getting some business from you, whether now or in the future, and give you a guidance. Now, if it's an unusual property, you'll probably get a bit of a range of prices. So that's why it's important to invite more than one agent round. So let's say you get 4 agents and there's a bit of a range, you can probably say, well, it's likely to be somewhere in the middle. So not an exact science when it's an unusual property that's unique to the area. But by either doing it yourself with the rough guide that I've given you, which will get you probably close enough, or if you want to put the time in, get agents round to give you a selection of prices and use their local expertise, you will eventually get yourself close enough to a valuation where you can understand whether you've paid the right price or not. The choice is yours. Choose to value it as a HMO or choose to value it as a single residential unit. And then once you've made that choice, take those steps I've just outlined and you'll be good.
Okay, second question today is from Tom.
Hi, Rob and Rob. This is Tom calling you with a question about tenancy agreements and remortgaging. A couple of years ago, I rented out my 2-bed bungalow to a care company and they signed a company let agreement for 3 years. In those 3 years, we basically agreed that they could move different clients in and out of the property. This could be older people, it could be adults with disabilities who are using their care services. This seemed like a great deal for me because I was getting assured rent for 3 years and they were also agreeing to keep up with some of the maintenance of the property as well. I've now come to the point where I am remortgaging the property and I've hit a bit of a stumbling block, in particular with the company let agreement. Most lenders that I'm speaking to, I actually have a mortgage agreed with a lender, but in their details, they have said that it should be an assured short-hold tenancy. And I believe that's because they want the assurance of a ground two notice should they need to claim possession of the property if I was to fall behind on payments, etc. So I have another year and 2 months left on this company let agreement. The mortgage that I am now is a variable rate that has gone up considerably, and I would like to remortgage. And I have a good mortgage agreed with this company. Is there anything that I can do to give the mortgage, the lender, the assurance that they need that they could take possession? Is there something that the care company could sign for me in order to make this all a bit more seamless? Any help you can give on that, I'd be really appreciative. Thanks a lot.
Tom, this is a tricky one because, as you have noticed, you shouldn't actually have been doing this in the first place, in that most buy-to-let lenders, as a default position, don't permit any kind of agreement that's not an AST, and they don't allow that AST to be more than a year. The reason for that is if they need to repossess the property, they want a clear framework that they can are used to operating under, that's very clear about under what circumstances they can get the property back. And they want the duration to be short because they don't want to wait a long time before they can get possession and then try and sell the property off to recover their money. This is very frustrating for someone in your situation because what you've got is basically the landlord's dream, which is having the property rented out for multiple years to an organization who you know has got a strong ability and willingness to repay, and you don't have to do anything because it's all their responsibility. So it's annoying. Is there anything that you can do to give the lender assurance they can take possession? I think it's very unlikely. But the first thing that I would do is to go and speak to the company who you're letting the property to and explain the situation to them, see if they've come across anything like this before and if they have got anything that they could do to get around it. I think it's unlikely, but it's worth a try. If that doesn't work, then the next thing you need to do is to go and find a lender that does permit this type of arrangement and is comfortable with it. And those are out there. It's not impossible. It just means that you won't be able to walk in off the street and pick up pretty much any product from any lender. You'll need to actually go digging. And this is where you'll be wanting to use a mortgage broker because it's just too tricky to do it yourself. A broker is also better positioned than you are to go and ask them to vary their criteria, which can happen. So there can be criteria in place, but if they go and speak to the business development manager at the lender, they can make a case for why you're doing this, why it's actually going to be okay after all, and try to get an exception through. Clearly, it is possible because there are lots of other landlords in your position renting out properties on the same basis. And all right, some of them might be doing it on terms that they shouldn't do, as you have been unknowingly doing in the past. Some of them won't have mortgages at all, but some will. So this is a solvable issue. So I'd say step one, talk to the company you're renting to. Step two, speak to a specialist mortgage broker who deals entirely in buy-to-let and recruit their help. And I'm pretty sure that between those two, you'll manage to find a solution. So good luck, Tom.
So thank you for your questions and thank you for listening. We'll be back on Thursday with the Property Podcast and, of course, back next week with Ask Rob and Rob. So until then, take care, have fun. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.